if you are willing to invite more of God in your life, you are going to experience great change. Mm-hmm. And that change may not be the most comfortable change because you're basically surrendering control. And if you're like me, you might be a control freak. And so to mm-hmm. surrender control is hard. But think about it. If we're surrendering control to the God of the universe who loves us so deeply and knows exactly what is best for us, then really there shouldn't be this tug of war. And yet, mm-hmm. of course, there is.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Well, hey, welcome everybody. Today on the podcast, we have a special guest with us. Normally, I'm sitting here having conversations with Chad. We decided to have Chad's better half here. This is Katrina Moore. This is Chad's wife. You want to say hi, Katrina, to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
There you go. So we're going to have a conversation today, Katrina, about your experience over these last few years, and really your experience has kind of turned into Chad's experience, my experience, and now Sun Valley, our church's experience of the Holy Spirit in new ways as you've been on this journey. Kind of talk us through where it all began for you.
Okay, we're just diving,
we're diving right in. Yeah.
No,
do you want to make small talk?
You? No, I hate small talk. No, this is good.
Where's that accent from?
It's from Scotland.
It's from Scotland. Okay.
Well, it's mostly American at this point, but
Even the way you said American sounded Scottish. Okay.
Yeah, but when I say Scotland, it sounds American, so I'm all messed up. So anyway, okay, yeah, let's dive in.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
I forgot the whole UK background. Yes. Would you like some tea?
Yes, I would like some tea.
So talk to us about your experience, and it began for you really with London. So kind of give us some of that.
Well, actually, my experience with the Holy Spirit began way before that.
Sure.
I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. My family weren't believers. I just woke up one day and wanted to go to church. So I wake up my mom and I say, hey, can I go to church? And she was just like, why do you want to go there? And I said, I don't know. I just want to go. And then she said, well, that's fine. And then I said, I think they asked for money. Can I have some money? So starting from there, I became a Christian and I learned.
So real quick, had you ever been to a church before that moment?
Okay. I had been to a vacation Bible school, which is so interesting because I grew up in Scotland mm-hmm. and vacation Bible school is very American. Mm-hmm. But the church I had gone to was a Southern Baptist church plant.
Okay.
In Scotland.
So they're doing everything they did in the Southern Baptist Church in Scotland.
Yes. And the thing is, all around where I lived, there are gray steeple, beautiful churches, stained glass, the stuff that you guys love to go visit. Uh-huh. Well, that was not the church for me. I wanted the church not with wooden pews, but with nice comfy chairs.
Yep.
And so I went to this cool looking church and it happened to be a Southern Baptist church. So at that vacation Bible school, I went. And I learned about a God who loved me. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, I was like, I'm going to go check that place out again.
So is that the church you ended up going back to then?
It was.
Okay.
And that's really my connection of how I came to the States, because there was lots of Americans that lived there at the time because of the oil business. And so the church was actually made up of half Scottish, half American people.
Wow. Okay.
And through that connection, eventually, is how I came to Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. So at what point, would you say when you were 11, that's when you said yes to following Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. And then mom says, here's a pound or whatever.
50p. Like, yeah.
Go take that with you to church. And then you stayed connected from that moment on?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. What's interesting about schools in the UK, they will have religious assemblies mm-hmm. and they are Christian religious assemblies. And so actually you learn about God nearly every week, like a minister would come in and talk about Jesus and talk about forgiveness and we'd sing hymns and stuff.
Wow.
It's really weird
yeah.
because it's a very secular country mm-hmm. and yet religious assemblies are very okay. So,
okay. So you meet Jesus, you end up, so you kind of fast forwarded mm-hmm. a little bit, you end up in the States. Talk about your experience with the Holy Spirit kind of early on in your understanding and you went to Bible college as well. Yeah. Was that in the States?
It was.
Okay. So kind of talk through that journey.
So, I was about 19 years old, and I first came across some books about the Holy Spirit. And I happened to be in Italy at the time doing some mission work. And I remember just being fascinated by the Holy Spirit, but had really no teaching on it so far in my life. Then I came to the States. I went to Bible college. I was in, which I love Bible college, right? Because we're studying the Bible, and I just, it gave me so much excitement just to study the Bible. And we were studying the book of Acts. And I remember looking at my professor going, how come we don't do any of this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, when Peter's saying, hey, pick up your mat and walk in the name of Jesus, I'm like, how come we don't do this? You know, and all these things about the Spirit, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, all this. And my professor didn't know how to answer me, but basically said, well, that we just don't. Or another professor kind of said, well, that was kind of for then, but not now. Mm-hmm. But then I'm thinking, gosh, oh, there's whole chunks of the Bible then that you're saying are not relevant for today. And I was like, and those are chunks from the New Testament. So I was always like, I'm not sure I'm going to just take that as gospel.
Yep.
And so I kept exploring more about that. But my professors didn't know what to do with me sometimes, which I didn't try and play devil's advocate. I just really wanted everything that God wanted to give everybody. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see any point in the journey of the New Testament church where those things stopped happening.
Yeah.
And so, and then of course, when Jesus says, you know, you're going to do greater things than I am. Mm-hmm. Well, so far I had not done greater things than Jesus.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And for me, like John chapter 14 is such a cool passage because it talks about how Jesus says, it's better for me that I leave you because the Spirit will come. And I'm all like, well, I want the better. I want the more.
Yeah.
And so we fast forward and now we get to our London.
Yeah.
And so
that's a long gap in between. Okay. So you're in Bible college to now you're in London. So was that just kind of a low level frustration kind of in your journey of following Jesus and why aren't we doing more of this or kind of what was going on in that in between time period?
Okay. That's a really good question. Was it low level frustration sometimes, but I think sometimes it got higher level frustration. But completely vulnerable here. I remember praying when I was 19 years old for more of the Holy Spirit or for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever it was that I felt like that I needed to ask for to get more of the Holy Spirit.
Which if you're listening right now and you're like, what's baptism of the Holy Spirit? So Jesus, when he's going to launch his ministry, he's going to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is talking to all of his, you know, followers like, hey, I'm baptizing you in water, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a whole another level of baptism. And that's the beginning of Jesus's ministry. John the Baptist kind of prepares that. And so in case you're listening and you're wondering, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, and I feel like it's even more. It's because many of us will say yes to Jesus and we'll be baptized in water. Mm-hmm. And if you look carefully in Acts, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and a lot of the other letters that Paul wrote, there is a lot about this baptism of the Spirit that we kind of glide over or don't really teach on. And so it is this like kind of next stage. And it's not like there's first class Christians that have been baptized in the Spirit and second class Christians that haven't. It's just as simply an ask for more of God, more of his power, more of his presence. And that is the Holy Spirit. You're just simply saying, I want more of you, God. Mm-hmm. And if you are willing to invite more of God in your life, you are going to experience great change. Mm-hmm. And that change may not be the most comfortable change because you're basically surrendering control. And if you're like me, you might be a control freak. And so to surrender control is hard. But think about it. If we're surrendering control to the God of the universe who loves us so deeply and knows exactly what is best for us, then really there shouldn't be this tug of war. And yeah, of course there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the pictures that stuck with me of how the Holy Spirit works. So the word that we get spirit from, pneuma, think like pneumatic drill, air, wind, breath. The picture was, imagine your life is like a sailboat and that sail's never up. And so, yes, I'm here, I'm on the water, and I'm ready for God to move. Well, the Spirit moves like the wind. And so to experience more of the Spirit, you got to lift up your sail. You got to create space for the Spirit to move and to push through your life and to experience the things that you're talking about. And so there's things we can do to lift up that sail. There's things that we can do. We play a part in this journey with God where we can open ourselves up to more of Him in our lives and lifting up the sail. And it just knowing your story, it sounds like you had a sail moment when you went to London. And so kind of talk through that experience that you had in London.
Okay. So Chad was invited to go check out a ministry called Alpha. And Alpha is a ministry really primarily geared to non-believers, mm-hmm. those that are not in our church yet. And it's a very safe space for them to explore big questions of life, like mm-hmm. why am I here and what's the purpose of life? And then, of course, we do it in a Christian context. So the videos continue, who is Jesus and mm-hmm. what is forgiveness and what is prayer? And just very basic tenets of the faith, but they are... The way we do it is there's no wrong answers.
Yeah.
So like you could come in and believe in something completely different from Christianity. Mm-hmm. But the wonderful thing about Alpha is you're so welcome here. And so just that opportunity to listen to somebody else and to love them, frankly,
yep.
right where they are, that's kind of what Alpha is. So it's done in kind of small groups. And yep. it's just this really cool opportunity for people to ask questions in a place where they won't be judged.
One of the things, and I love a lot of things about Alpha, one of the things I love about it is nobody tells you what to believe.
Right.
Nobody comes in and goes, let me give you the answers mm-hmm. and you need to adjust to this or this isn't for you. Mm-hmm. It's just a safe space to tee up really important questions because there are really important questions in life that we need to answer. And we typically don't give them the time of day
right.
to really ponder, to really consider, or to be in an environment where we can have honest conversations because something happens when you say stuff out loud. Now you really have to go, do I really believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you say it out loud, now there's a little accountability and there's that ability to now kind of evaluate it and go, is this even true? Where am I getting this from? And so we've seen lots of people meet Jesus just because what you said, people have listened and people have loved them and accepted them right where they're at. And they've ended up meeting Jesus through that and through those people who have created those spaces and environments. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So you got to check this out. So Chad gets the invite and he's like, yeah, I'm not going.
Well, it wasn't so much that he actually couldn't go.
Okay.
It was like the start of the fall season that year. He was crazy busy. Mm-hmm. He was already committed to like a bunch of other things around that time. And during that summer, I just kept feeling prompted about this thing called Alpha. Mm-hmm. Now, because I had grown up in the UK, I had heard about Alpha and I kind of knew what it was very basically. So mm-hmm. I recognized the name basically. But other than that, I don't know. I felt like God, the Holy Spirit, just kept bringing it back to my mind. And so I told Chad, I was like, listen, this keeps coming back to my mind. And he's like, well, we'll go in January because they do it twice a year, mm-hmm. September and January. And it's basically you go to the church in London where it began and you kind of learn from the leaders and just soak it all up. I basically thought, well, we'll go check it out to see if it's crap or not. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I said to Chad, we could go in January, but if this is what I think it is, that means we're postponing for mm-hmm. 6 months mm-hmm. those that might come to know Jesus 6 months sooner.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't have 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, okay, well, you go then. And I was like, okay, I think I will. And so I went, I took a friend, and we explored Alpha, and it was incredible. And what I learned a lot about Alpha was this dependence on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So now we've come 20 years from this prayer of my heart to just know God more. And after 20 years, he answers this prayer. And really all that happened was they prayed this very simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And they taught us to just wait on God. And so often when we pray, like we've prayed for so many people, I know you've prayed for tons of people, and we're so used to going, hey, you know, what do you need prayer for? And then boom, we just start praying. Like,
yeah.
God, I just pray over this person. I thank you, and whatever they need their prayers answered. You know, we just start off praying. Whereas they taught us to wait on God.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it. My words for you, Robert, might be nice. They might be encouraging. But imagine if God had something very specific to say to you mm-hmm. that I wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wait on him before I pray for you in case there's something he wants to show you, tell you, remind you of. And in that space, God gets to do his work. then that is far more powerful than me just praying for whatever your need is. Now, don't get me wrong. Those prayers have their place.
Sure.
But it's just giving God the space to speak. And so often we are so quick to speak and so slow to listen to God mm-hmm. and frankly to everybody else. So they just kind of taught us to wait, that the Holy Spirit is in us and desires to minister deeply mm-hmm. in ways that we may not have ever experienced before. And on that day, there was a word of knowledge, which is just a fancy way of saying God told somebody something about me. Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't know who this is for. And then they said what the message was. And I just start bawling. And I knew that was a message for me from God. And it just made, you know, it just deeply ministered to my heart.
All right. So for the, you know, at risk of being real vulnerable here, what was the message?
So, and this was kind of what I was about to talk about earlier, but I really feel like when I was 19 and asking for more of God, God said no. And that may seem weird, like, wait a minute, like, I'm asking for more of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. or whatever gifts or what, you know, and God said, I really believe he said no, looking back. And I think he did that because of my character. Mm. My character wasn't at a place where if God gave me more of his gifts, that he could maybe trust me with it. My pride, my need for attention, approval, all of that would have marred what God wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I would have used it for me rather than for him. Mm-hmm. So you fast forward 20 years. I've hopefully grown a little bit. I've hopefully matured a little bit. And the message that day was something along the lines of, I see a plastic container and it gets all smashed up. And then it gets reformed and then it gets filled with water and the water overflows. And I felt like to me that was a picture of my character or my heart. Maybe it got all broken up and then it got all reformed. And now God was ready to fill it, to pour out for others, mm-hmm. not for my glory, but for his, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard because when you share something that God told you and it's very personal, it for everybody else, it just kind of doesn't resonate. So it doesn't.
There is an experiential side of it. So even as you're talking, I'm going, okay, so theologically, everything that you're talking about, 100%, we could go look at the verses, we could pull them up and there's the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. Mm-hmm. And you see that in Paul's letters. But then there's something about the experience side of it that it's hard to just articulate it. And for me, I tend to be more logical. And after you had this experience in London and you're like, hey, this is, I think, what God is leading us to, you talk Chad and myself into going as well and went and experienced the same thing. And I'm sitting there in the logical part of my brain going, none of this is totally making sense. Like, again, I understand we're talking about God who loves us, all powerful God. And yet there's things you experience that you just can't even articulate and you can't totally explain it, but you just sense at a soul level is the best way I could describe it. At a soul level, the presence of God mm-hmm. and the words of God. And just that, to use a really churchy word, just fellowship with God in those moments. And it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And so you experience some of this, you come back. What was your message to Chad when you came back? Are you like, hey, you're going to London, or what was that? How'd that conversation go?
Well, basically I was like, Alpha's legit. It is so great. But really, I mean, you experienced this when you did go to London. There's like 10% about Alpha and mm-hmm. 90% about the Holy Spirit, yeah. really. Yeah. So it's really a wonderful time of ministry. And mm-hmm. so because I had really felt like I was beginning again this journey with the Holy Spirit, I of course wanted Chad to learn about it. Mm-hmm. I of course wanted you to learn about it because I wanted for our church to experience this because I felt like there was more for all of us. Mm-hmm. And that really excited me. And then of course, inviting you both, I mean, you're the two that speak to our church the most. And so if you guys got it, then it would help then to translate to everybody else as we shared and as you spoke and sermons and but frankly, also personally for you both. Mm-hmm. So for me, when you guys came, I was so excited. Like I didn't need to go again, but I was going because I had to see and watch you guys experience what I did, mm-hmm. because I just kept saying, oh, just wait for this next session. Just wait for this next session. And then, you know, we had wonderful Indian food. We went to the theater.
I mean,
sidebar, remember when we were going to see Les Mis and Chad and I were a little bit late? And one other thing, our hotel room had heated toilet seats because it was in London and it was freezing. And that is luxury of luxuries, right?
Yep.
And then we were running a little bit late and I text you and I said, we'll be there. And you were waiting outside the theater. And do you remember what you said?
Did I say one day more, or did I quote something from the musical?
Because no, you texted back like, I am waiting here with a song in my heart.
There you go.
And and so I'm running along Oxford Street in London, just laughing at your little, I'm waiting here with song in my heart and joy in my step or something like that.
I love music theater. I don't care who knows it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We saw that and we saw Hamilton.
Yes.
It was an incredible, incredible week.
Well, you really loved Hamilton.
I did.
You stood up before
the
thing ended. And we were like, what are you doing?
All right. Real quick for everybody listening. So if you haven't seen Hamilton, the big joke of the whole musical is King George. And here we are in London.
In England, yes.
Yes, and I'm like, oh, is this going to go over well? And anyhow, so it was extra special to me to see this musical in London with the people that we broke up with.
And we laughed. British people still thought it was funny.
Still thought, so here's one of the things that we experienced there in London that truly is just incredible. So it's pouring rain one night. Mm. It's freezing cold.
Always.
And there is a line like down the street waiting to get into this Anglican church to learn about Jesus. People who aren't believers,
right.
People who are atheists, agnostic, just lined up for as far as you can see. And Chad and I are looking at each other. We're looking at you going, what is this? Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, because I said this earlier, so you're creating space for people just to be who they are, but you're also to the point you made of the Holy Spirit, that the teams are praying like crazy just for a movement of God, an act of God, to move into the lives of these people, for them to experience Him, to understand who He is, to be revealed, and so there is a ton of prayer, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you have some good food, you close your mouth, you ask good questions, and you just pray like crazy, and people are meeting Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's working, not just in London, not just at Sun Valley. It's working all over the world in different cultures.
In all kinds of situations, too, in schools, in workplaces, in prisons, in churches. Anywhere that you can have a small group, you can have an alpha group.
Mm-hmm.
And the alpha videos are excellent. They're very well done.
Agreed.
And that's basically where we get to say what we want to say. And then the discussion time is simply we get to listen to them. And you're right about the prayer. The prayer component is so huge because the magic, if you will, of alpha is, you know, if you come in and you've got a question, I'm not going to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
which is frustrating for some.
Yeah.
But it's this idea of, well, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about that? But ultimately what it does is if for your question, say you had a question, it leaves space for God to answer your question. Because
mm-hmm.
again, just like if I'm praying for you, if you have a question and I tell you the answer, that will satisfy you and you may or may not remember the answer a day from now. But if you have a question and it's an important question, and in that space of processing through the weeks, God answers your question,
mm-hmm.
or you more like you and God discover the answer for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, now that's far more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we create the space for God to work rather than us
mm-hmm.
working.
Mm-hmm. Which again, very biblical, where God's the head of this thing called the church, but mm-hmm. we're the body,
mm-hmm.
and then He lets us play a part in it,
mm-hmm.
which is a great gift that we can be a part of people meeting Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want to ask you and kind of end on this. For people who are listening, who are just wanting to experience more, and they want to experience more of the Holy Spirit in their life, what advice would you give them? What steps would you say, hey, here's things that you can do to open yourself up to receive more?
Well, I think it starts with a simple prayer. When I was in London that first time, the word that God gave me was Moore, and not my last name, because actually I would say my last name Moore, because there's two O's. But so God gave me that word Moore, and I just asked for more. That's a scary thing to ask, though, scary in the sense of God might need to radically do some things mm-hmm. to get you ready for the more. Mm-hmm. And some of those things might be dealing with some pretty big character flaws. Mm-hmm. that was my example for sure. And even recently has had to work on some things. But you know what? You can trust God. Mm-hmm. So even though I prayed for more, not anticipating what that might look like, I realized that in the end, God proved very faithful and answered that prayer, but it wasn't like the most easiest journey. So I guess for most people, I would just start reading more of like the book of Acts and mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians. Just even look up the word Holy Spirit on your Bible app or Bible Gateway. Mm-hmm. You'll see he is the main character, frankly, of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot about Jesus, but once you move past his biographies, it's all the Holy Spirit. And that is who is with us today. And so the Holy Spirit is simply, it's just tapping into his power. You're just saying, God, right now, I need your strength. Or God, right now, would you help me and give me peace? It's just reminding yourself, hey, I don't need to do this alone. Mm-hmm. God is with me. He's your comforter, your advocate, your advisor, your friend, and he's always there. That's what's so beautiful. So in the middle of the night, you wake up, horrible anxious thoughts. I don't know about you, but since COVID, I have had horrible anxious thoughts every now and then in the mm-hmm. middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And one, I tell myself, hey, in the morning, this is all going to seem way better because it always does in the morning. Yep. So I tell myself, wait till morning to really think about this. Yep. And two, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and minister to me right now. I'm going to give you these thoughts. And if there's something I need to think about more, then you can bring it back to mind in mm-hmm. the morning. Mm-hmm. So he's, no matter where we are, what we're doing, he's always with us. And he is God. Holy Spirit is God. You know, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it's simply, so the way they talk about an alpha, and this is maybe a great example to end on. For many of us who don't know about the Holy Spirit as much, it's like we kind of like, we're gas boilers and we just have the pilot light on. Mm-hmm. So we've got Jesus, we said yes to Jesus, probably been baptized, probably serving our hearts away at church or whatever, but it's a pilot light. But then if the Holy Spirit comes and infuses that pilot light, it's like mm-hmm. when the boiler comes on, then there's just this extra power, energy, light, source. I don't know what else to say, but it's so much more. Mm-hmm. It's so much brighter. It's so much stronger. It's so much peaceful, so much more joyful. And so everything gets magnified within you, but it's all God doing it. Mm-hmm. So on nights when, say, I'm like, oh, we have alpha group, say, for example, there's some nights I'm like, oh, God, would you please come and give me love for these people? Mm-hmm. And of course I love them, but you know what? Sometimes I'm tired. I don't want to clean my house. Sometimes I don't want to get the dinner ready, whatever. And then he comes and overwhelms me with a sense of love for them. And so as soon as they walk through the door, it's not my energy, it's God's energy. Mm-hmm. And then it makes all the difference. And you don't get so burnt out, frankly. Mm-hmm. Ministry can be hard, but it doesn't have to be if we continue to tap into the power source and not do it on our own strength.
Yeah.
That was a really long answer to your question.
Well,
it's exciting.
I'm gonna take everything you said here and just kind of recap a little bit.
Yes.
So you said, one, what I hear you saying is make space. Carve out a little bit of time.
Yes.
And start with start with scripture. Read what Paul writes in Romans, 1 Corinthians, what he writes about the Spirit, or just, I think doing the search is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then pray, come Holy Spirit. And here's the hardest part for, I think, most listeners, myself included, this was the hardest part for me. Then be quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's going to feel like, it might be immediate. It might feel like a long time. You might pray, come Holy Spirit, and sit there for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And you might do this 8 weeks in a row, but just create space.
Yeah. And I would start small, mm-hmm. like just because, like I said, we're so used to praying. And then so we immediately go, Abba, thank you so much for today. And off we go, rather than just going, okay, I'm going to give you even 30 seconds, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't need to be like this 30 minute silence I mean, you might work up to that and it might be incredible or it might be totally boring. I don't know. But the point is you're just practicing giving God the opportunity to speak to you. Now, of course, he speaks to us through scripture. He speaks to us through devos and maybe podcasts and sermons and all that sort of thing. But there's this intimacy when I just go, God, if you have something that you want to show me, a picture, a word, scripture, then I want to hear that. And I'm just going to wait to give you that space. Then you start to learn dependency. And so like even this morning, I'm walking Charlie, our big dog. Child always talks about Charlie. And so I'm walking him and I want to go my pace. I want to get my steps in. I want to get my heart rate up. And Charlie, of course, who is a rather large dog, he's like, nope. I'm going to stop and I'm going to sniff here. And so my arm gets yanked back. It's not like I can just gently pull him along. I'm stopped.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Holy Spirit. You're basically on a leash with the Holy Spirit. Of course, this is in reverse because, of course, he would be taking me, the dog. But you get the idea that if the Holy Spirit says stop, you stop. If the Holy Spirit says go, you go. So it's this sort of like greater awareness of what God might be doing around us.
Yeah, that's good. That's great advice. For those of you that are listening, here's what I want to do right now. I'm going to ask Katrina if you would just pray for our listeners, pray for those that are wanting to experience more of the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited to see what God does in the future. And in the future, if you have an opportunity to be a part of Alpha in some way, you should check it out. I think it'd be great. So when those opportunities come up. But yeah, why don't you close by praying for us and praying for those who are listening?
Okay. Well, we got to do it the Alpha way.
Of course we do.
So the Alpha way is just simply, we're going to pray this simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. And if you're comfortable, I would just encourage you to open up your palms in a posture of receiving. And then we're simply going to wait a little minute or two. And then I'll pray. So let's pray. Come Holy Spirit. God, I sense people have a lot of thoughts and questions about this. And I think that's so encouraging because questions can lead to answers. And so, God, I pray that the questions we have in this area and the thoughts that we have concerning your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would answer them. I pray, God, that you would lead us. I pray, maybe most of all, that our hearts would desire more of you. That we would want to surrender more of our lives to you, more control. Like it talks about in Romans, just we want to lay down our lives and be living sacrifices. And so I pray, though, practically, that you would show us what that looks like in our everyday lives, that Holy Spirit, you would lead and guide us, that when we need to stop and pause, that we would heed you and give us ears to hear you. I pray we wouldn't make it too complicated. I pray that we would be reminded that, wow, you love us so incredibly and you're for us and you are with us and that you have great purpose and plans for us. And I pray that you would know that we want to be doing your work. We want to be about your business. And so forgive us when we get very wrapped up in ourselves. And I pray, God, that you would help us to open ourselves up to more of you, that you would have control over our lives. And in so doing, that our personhood, our friends, our family, our church, we would be radically changed because you would have shown us the way and shown us what you want to do and worked through us in many and various ways. So, Holy Spirit, we pray, come. You are exciting. You are wonderful. You are the power. You are the love. You are the Spirit of Jesus that lives and dwells within us. And I pray that you would do great and mighty things in us and through us by your power and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical locations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.